We believe that in the future, people are going to rely on AI to help make their food choices for them. And the reason we believe that is because humans are very bad at making food choices.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Ben McKean, who is the founder of Hungry Root. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Dave.
And it's great to meet you. So I want to start. Can you tell a little bit more about what Hungry Root is and describe the early days when you founded the company?
Absolutely. Hungry Root helps people to eat healthy. So they tell us their goals, their budget, their lifestyle, whether they're trying to lose weight, improve energy, save time, save money. And we recommend and deliver healthy groceries, easy recipes, and essential supplements for them and their family.
After you started the business about 10 years ago, you made a pivot in the business model around 2018. What led you to that and what's it taken from there?
When I started the company in 2015, it was very different than it is today. I started it really with the vision of creating the next generation CPG company, the new age General Mills or the new age Kraft Heinz. And the premise was that food is deeply personal. It's deeply emotional. We all eat food multiple times throughout our day. The food that we eat impacts how we feel on a daily basis in many different ways. And yet the big packaged food companies are very removed from the end consumer. Typically, they're selling to a grocery store who then resells their products to the end consumer. The premise was to build a direct-to-consumer packaged food company and to really innovate on the food level. So we started the company with 6 SKUs. We had reinvented the frozen dinner in a fresh, healthy format. Think of that sort of the package size about the same as a frozen dinner, but it's a fresh product. You sauteed for about 5 to 7 minutes, and you have a healthy, delicious meal. That's how we started the company. People loved the product. But what we very quickly realized was that if you're going to be purchasing food online, it's important to have as much of a grocery shopping experience as possible. And there's really 2 reasons for that. One, it's more convenient for the customer. People are not going to go to Chobani.com to buy their yogurt and then go to VanLeeuwen.com to buy their ice cream and then go to, you know, a farmersmarket.com to buy their fresh produce. They want to have as much as possible from a single source. It's just more convenient. And secondly, and equally importantly, the economics of delivering food directly to a consumer all comes down to order value. The larger that someone orders in a single delivery, the better the economics are, both for the company and for how the product can be priced to the consumer. So over the first 4 years of our history as a company, we started to expand SKUs in order to become more convenient for our customers and to improve the economics of our business. We went from 6 SKUs to 60 SKUs by 2019. We got to about $25 million of revenue in 2019, but we weren't growing at the rate that we wanted, and we were unprofitable. So there's really been 3 big pivots in the company's history. The biggest is the one in 2019, where we pivoted from being really focused on being a packaged food company and selling people on, we have the best cookie dough, we have the best clean ingredient sauces, to being a personalized grocery service and selling people on, you can trust us to figure out the best foods for what you're trying to accomplish for your lifestyle, for your budget, across all parts of your day part, groceries, recipes, microwavable meals, supplements. You can trust us to recommend what's going to work for you and to deliver that to your home. That was the pivot we made in 2019 that has been very successful and has really driven our growth since then and is really the foundation of the business today. There were 2 other pivots in 2017 and 2018 that got us to that point, which I'm happy to speak to as well. But that the 2019 was really the one that has led us to where we are today as a company.
When meal kits came on the market as this new version of subscription commerce, there was a lot that flooded the market. A lot of venture capital went into the space. With those pivots that you just talked about, how did you think about differentiating what you were going to do versus not just other meal kits, but also other delivery services of food?
When I started the company, meal kits had been around for probably a year to 2 years. And a core premise of mine from day one was that you can either innovate on the demand side or the supply side in the food industry. But if you try to innovate on both, you're going to fail because it's just going to be too challenging. And if you think back historically, food companies have always tried to innovate on the supply side, whether it's a new form, whether it's a new raw ingredient that they're using in their product or new packaging for their product or new production process to create a new food product. They're innovating on the supply side. And then they outsource effectively the demand to the grocery store. And with Hungr, the premise has always been, let's innovate on the demand side. Let's create the best possible shopping experience for customers. And if we do that successfully, then we can effectively outsource as much of the supply side of the business as possible. Now, this took us a couple years to get there. And that was actually the 2017 pivot was, initially, we were producing all of the food ourselves. And if you think about a food company, they're very specialized. Chobani sells yogurt and they sell derivatives of yogurt. And there's a reason for that, which is food production is extremely complicated with very little margin of error. We were selling in 2017, 30 different SKUs, ranging from stuff like chopping up produce to mixing sauces to baking items. It was just overly complex, and we realized we needed to shut down the supply chain and actually effectively outsource the supply chain to third parties. So the premise for us has always been, let's really focus on the best, most personalized experience for the consumer in the food industry that helps people to feel better on a daily basis. And the meal kits, one of the challenges with the meal kit industry has been, they tried to deliver a direct-to-consumer experience in a very different way than it existed in the past, but they also created highly complex operations and supply chains that ultimately led to a lot of challenges in their businesses.
One of the things that's always fascinating about your business is, while AI has become this massive kind of trend and sometimes even a fad that people bolt on, it's something you built into the core of the business long before it's become the buzzword it is today. How'd you come up with the idea of incorporating AI into what you're doing?
So we started building our AI in 2019. And going into the beginning of 2019, we were a packaged food company sold online. We had 60 SKUs. Everything was under our own brand. And the differentiator in the market was that we had the best cookie doughs, the best sauces, et cetera. And because that wasn't working, we pivoted to add third-party brands to the platform and really turn it into a platform and turn it into a grocery service. We thought about, how are we going to build a valuable, unique grocery service? There's a lot of grocery services, Fresh Direct in New York area, Instacart. How are we going to compete? Amazon Fresh, obviously. How are we going to compete? And we were going from 60 SKUs to, when we pivoted into it, we had 120 SKUs. That Instacart has 100,000 SKUs, right? So we had to find a unique premise to compete on. And for us, that was personalization. It was the fact that we're going to actually fill your grocery cart for you. And you have total control and you can remove every single thing that we have put into your grocery cart and shop just like you shop on Instacart or any other grocery service. But the premise, the value proposition really comes down to, you can trust our recommendations. And when you do trust the recommendations and they work for you, it saves you a bunch of time. It's one less thing to worry about. It helps you accomplish difficult health objectives. You discover a ton of new food and you actually save money. So that was the unique value proposition that we felt we could really own in the market. Now, to accomplish that, it required AI. And AI means a lot of different things. And the initial way that we started to build in 2019 was this operations research algorithm. Operations research is a subfield of AI. It's one of the original subfields of AI. And the reason that it's very valuable is because you can actually code into the hard constraints, human logic into the algorithm that is needed to solve highly complex problems. For example, in recommending food for someone, if we don't have inventory of that food, it doesn't matter how much the system thinks you're going to love the item. We obviously can't recommend something we can't deliver to you. Or if you tell us you're vegan, it doesn't matter how much the algorithm thinks you're going to love this salmon dish. We can't recommend non-vegan foods to you if you've explicitly told us that. So we started with this operations research algorithm because it allowed us to build into the algorithm hard rules to guide the process. Now, to give you a sense of how this algorithm initially worked, there were effectively 100 parameters. And one parameter would be, how do you feel about the protein in this recipe? And if you've told us that you love salmon, for example, and this recipe comes up and the algorithm's evaluating whether it should give you the salmon recipe, it would literally give you +7 towards that recipe because it has salmon and you've told us you love salmon. And that +7, and it was literally +7 because we would fine tune these numbers as a human process, was based on data science and understanding the degree to which different parameters really matter to the consumer. But it was literally hand tuned, where once we'd say, we have these debates, we'd say, I think the protein actually matters more than we're giving it weight to. Maybe it should be +9. And then we'd try +9. And that is funny because that was 2019. That was the case up until 2023. That sounds now like incredibly archaic AI. What we have developed that into is, so that algorithm still underpins the entire AI system at Hungry. The key difference now is we have 10 machine learning models that feed into that algorithm and that effectively replace the human process from a machine learning perspective.
With that, one of the challenges when you're building from the AI standpoint is, do you describe the magic to the consumer or do you just let them experience the magic? How have your customers responded to the use of AI, and have you overtly showcased it to them, or have you just let the magic experience happen?
Up until about 6 months ago, so the middle of 2024, we didn't talk about AI at all to the consumer. And we made the decision based on some consumer research that has shown increasing interest from consumers in understanding. If you did research, when we did research 2-3 years ago, you show, use AI language to the consumer and describing something, very negative reaction. And still in the research we do today, still relatively negative. People don't want to, you know, be told, oh, AI powered, for example. But what we did is we branded our technology as Smart Cart. And that has allowed us to speak to the benefits of the technology. It has allowed us to encourage engagement with the technology because the most valuable data that Smart Cart acquires is actually when customers go in, they review their cart, they remove items, they add other items in, they rate items. That engagement is critical. So by branding it, it's allowed us to encourage engagement with it. So that's something that we have very recently started to do, and consumers are reacting very positively to. And one of the things that's also fostered is we have this highly engaged Facebook group. We have over 30,000 of our most engaged customers are in this Facebook group. And what we see now is people talking about the algorithm getting better. And that's incredibly exciting for us because it's the number one focus of our company is improving the algorithm. And I think people's willingness to talk about that is somewhat related to the branding of it and understanding that the concept exists. But we don't use language like AI. We stay away from that. We use more of a consumer branding, which is Smart Cart.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Over the years, you've talked about some of the inflection points that you've had. One of the biggest, obviously, was during the pandemic, where you had a barbell of amazing interest in e-commerce and forms like yours, but also amazing challenges with supply chain and everything that goes into it. How did you navigate that, both for the business, but also for your employees?
So we have a very strange and unique COVID story, which is that because we pivoted the business in the middle of 2019, really the fall of 2019, we were growing into our new business over the course of COVID. So we never had this sort of spike and then deflation post-spike. Our revenue has grown from $25 million in 2019 to over $500 million revenue run rate business that has been very steady since then. And the cause of that has been, in 2019, we had about 60 SKUs. Then we pivoted, started adding a lot more brands. We went to about 150 SKUs. We went to about 250 SKUs, 500 SKUs. We have nearly 1,000 SKUs on the platform today. And so the sort of the spike that we saw was there was about a month long period where just like literally shut off marketing and had a huge influx of customers like everyone else. But we weren't in a position to scale beyond our needs because we were effectively in some ways a 6 month old company because we had just pivoted the business. The employee experience, I think, was the bigger change in many ways. It was a strange experience. Having a lot of success during a period that a lot of people were struggling. We were not that worried about hungered during this period where a lot of people were worried about their own health of their loved one, their job, et cetera. So a lot of our focus was how can we support the community? How can we give back to the community? We're really proud of how the team came together and we launched a frontline workers initiative where we sent out free deliveries to a number of frontline workers. That was a big focus from a team perspective. We also went remote. We're still a remote company. We very much believe that's a competitive advantage for us.
When you look at the future of Hungaroo over this 10-year and these inflection points, what's the future for where you guys go from here?
We believe that in the future, people are going to rely on AI to help make their food choices for them. And the reason we believe that is because humans are very bad at making food choices. The average American spends 5 hours a week thinking about what to buy, planning their meals, and then going to the grocery store and shopping for them. 5 hours a week. For the vast majority of people, this is not enjoyable moments. You know, our target customer is the overwhelmed suburban mom. This is one additional thing on her to-do list. And she would love, and she does love once she signs up for Hungaroo, to free up that time and spend it on something that's more valuable to her. So 5 hours a week we spend on this task. When we go to the grocery store, 70% of what we buy are the exact same items as the week before. So we spend all this time thinking about what to buy, but because it's such a challenge to do meal planning and to figure out recipes and all that, when we go to the grocery store, we end up just buying what we're familiar with and get the same items each week. Despite that, 30% of what we buy at the grocery store, we throw out at our home because it spoils before we find a use for it. And despite all of this, 82% of Americans are metabolically unhealthy. So the food choices we're making are counter to our health. Obviously, not everyone falls into this bucket, but for the vast majority of Americans, we're not making great food choices, and an AI is able to solve the vast majority of that. So what the AI is able to do is it's able to save you a tremendous amount of time because it's pre-populated your cart based on both explicit data, explicit preferences, explicit feedback you've given us, and in many cases, more importantly, implicit signals from how you're shopping. What are you removing from your cart? What are you adding to your cart? So it's filled your cart with items you're going to love. Our long-term retention is effectively perfectly correlated with how much you are able to rely on the recommendations. So the more that you remove from your cart, the lower your long-term retention. So when it works, it saves you a tremendous amount of time. It's just one less thing to worry about. You can accomplish really complicated health objectives for you and your family. You might be looking to lose weight. Your teenage daughter might be looking to eat vegan. Your teenage son might be looking to boost up protein, whatever. Right? It's a complicated task when there's all of these different factors that matter. The AI is able to sift through all of that data for you. and to give you food that you're going to love and that's going to make you feel great on a daily basis. So we very strongly feel that's the way that people are going to shop in the future. We are pioneering that shopping experience at Hungerroot. And so it's all about just getting better at it, being very focused on it and very data driven and executing and making that as great of an experience as possible while becoming known for offering that experience.
Shifting the discussion a little bit, over this journey that you've had, you've learned a lot of great lessons. When you talk to other entrepreneurs, they're following in your footsteps, wanting to launch something, build a brand, disrupt an industry. What advice do you give them of how to approach it and to learn from what you've had over the last 10 years?
It varies significantly by where the entrepreneur is in their journey. Entrepreneurship is a journey. I fell in love with entrepreneurship when I was 18 years old and I started my first company, and Hungerroot is my third business. And I'm probably more in love with it now than I ever have been. It's a journey where each stage is very different. So at the early stages, it's all about action and learning. And I talk to a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, and majority don't end up actually starting a company. And the reason for that is that there's so many reasons not to. There's so many reasons it's a bad idea. There's so many reasons that it's not going to work out. And you just got to run through those walls and obviously not be blind to them. But whenever you get advice, I think it's okay to allow it to adjust your direction by 5 degrees. And so if you keep getting the same advice, then eventually 5 degrees becomes 45 degrees and you've made a sharp turn into a new direction. But it's very easy early on as an entrepreneur, especially a first-time entrepreneur. You get advice and you immediately shift in your direction, and it's just whipsaw and it's very deflating and you end up not actually learning and progressing. So early stage entrepreneurs, that's my advice. I think that as you start to get going, and this is so personal to your own goals and the market dynamics, et cetera. But I do think that you got to try to be as lean and profitable as possible from as early as possible. And it's too easy to get reliant on raising investor capital. I think one of the things that has really helped Hungerroot is, candidly, I was paranoid from my previous experience, my second company that I started, where we were highly unprofitable. I always wanted to have the business be as profitable, or at least on a unit economic basis, highly profitable as possible early on. I think that served us really well, because as the market has shifted over the last 3 to 4 years, there's been a tremendous number of companies in our category who have exited, and they've exited the category because, and really what I mean is they've shut down. Because of profitability is the core reason.
That's great advice. I think that's a perfect place to kind of bring the conversation to a close. So I appreciate you sharing the journey that you've been on, and particularly the fascinating use of AI for the business from the various early days.
Thanks so much, Dave. Great to chat with you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.